You're listening to TheStreet.com's Real Story. Visit anytime for this and our other multimedia products.
Final interview of the day was Paul Sullivan. And this is what makes The Real Story so cool. Such a great show. He's the author of a book called Clutch, which is a great book. He's a columnist for the New York Times. And he writes a book about clutch performers. Is there such a thing as a clutch performer? And can you become a clutch performer if you practice? And the first thing I wanted to find out from Paul Sullivan in this fantastic book is, why are some people clutch while other people's are not?
Well, that's the topic of the book, so it's a fantastic question. I found that there are five traits for people who are great under pressure. Focus, discipline, adaptability, being present, and what I call the push and pull of fear and desire. But ultimately, to be clutch, you have to be able to do something under normal conditions before you can ever expect to do it under pressure.
Is it nature or is it nurture? Are people just born clutch, or can they go out and learn to be clutch?
Nobody in this book, from Tiger Woods to Jamie Dimon, was born clutch. It's a trait that's learned, and it's a hard trait to learn, but anybody can learn it.
How do you learn it when you're out shooting shots in basketball, when you're practicing? Do you have to count down 3, 2, 1, the championship is on the line, like I used to do? Is that how you learn to be clutch?
That's exactly what I did when I was a kid, chipping balls in my backyard, and I choked horribly at golf. Part of it is, you know, you have to have been there before. You have to work your way up. I mean, Tiger Woods, when I sat down with him in 2008, said the reason he was so clutch on a golf course was because he'd been there more often than anybody else. And the problem is we often confuse clutch with luck. I mean, the home run that wins the game, the baseball game, that's a great romantic moment, but there's a lot of luck involved. As opposed to, you know, Roy Halladay's no-hitter the other night, well, that's a tremendous amount of skill.
Well, each one of these guys spends the 10,000 hours. Malcolm Gladwell had that book, Outliers, where you have to spend 10,000 hours to become proficient, and he talks about the Beatles playing guitar and playing in Germany. He talks about Bill Gates spending his 10,000 hours on a computer in Seattle. So it's hard for me to buy that, you know, a guy like A-Rod is not clutch, because he's been on the field ever since he was a little kid, while Derek Jeter, who's also been on the field since he was a little kid, is clutch.
Yeah, it's a great comparison. And, you know, the three qualities of why people choke under pressure: they don't take responsibility, they're overconfident, and they overthink their role in society, in the game, or to the team. And I talk about A-Rod in that overthinking chapter, because if you go back to when he was negotiating his monster contract, Scott Boras put together this whole prospectus on A-Rod that didn't compare him to then the greatest shortstops of his era, I mean, Derek Jeter being one of them. It compared A-Rod to the greatest players of all time. And if you watch A-Rod at every other crucial bat up until last year, he did something different. He wasn't A-Rod. He didn't focus. He didn't have the discipline. He started, you could almost see it, that he was thinking, here I am, the great A-Rod, up at bat to save the game.
One of the traits that people say makes a good trader, as well as a good ball player, is that if they miss a shot or make a bad trade, they forget about it. They immediately move on. Now, is this true? Because basically, is A-Rod, or at least was he, because last year he was fairly clutch, you know, was he still thinking about that last at-bat, or, you know, and that hurt him in the current at-bat? And similarly with trading, you have a lot of traders, they just forget it. If they lose money, they move on.
Yeah, you're right, and that's it. And it's the fourth trait of being clutch. It's being present. It's, you know, not only blocking out the bad trades that you've made, but it's not dreaming of the glory if you're about to make a huge trade. I mean, that ties people up more than so many other things. You're out of the moment, and you're thinking, you know, if I make a great trade here, I am going to be even richer. I mean, the greats don't do that.
Does it hurt you to start thinking about a home run when you should be thinking about a single? Does it hurt you to start thinking about breaking the Bank of England, doing a George Soros trade, when you should just take profits incrementally?
Absolutely. And it's not just, you know, thinking about hitting a single could hurt you just as much as thinking about hitting a home run. I mean, the key is to focus on hitting the ball. I mean, that's what you have to focus on. As a trader, the key is, you know, make a good trade. Have the good information. I talk about Steve Cohen in the book. I mean, those guys are so incredibly disciplined, and that's the key. I mean, if it goes up, what you think is going to go up, sell. If it goes down past your stop loss, sell. Have discipline. That helps you under pressure.
Let's talk about some financial figures, which you talk about in the book. Why is Jamie Dimon clutch? Why was he clutch during the financial crisis?
I mean, Jamie is a model of clutch for me. Not only did he apply the five traits that I talk about, but, you know, he also managed not to succumb to the first anti-clutch trait, which is responsibility. I mean, he's been responsible his entire career, and that showed in the deal he cut to buy Bear Stearns, but it goes back a lot further. At age 30, he was named the CFO of Commercial Credit, a small Baltimore firm that became one of the building blocks for Citigroup. And he tells this great story in the book in which he was looking over all the books. He needed to be in charge of everything. He didn't want to let it go to his head that here he was, 30, becoming a CFO. And in the course of looking over all the financials, he stumbled across this thing that said $7,000 for watering of the plants on the executive floor. Looks around, calls in the guy who's in charge of this and says, look at this, $7,000. The guy says, yeah, you know, it's a whole year of watering. That's a long time. He said, buddy, these are artificial plants. Now, that's a great throwaway story, but it illustrates how detail-oriented Diamond was from an early age and how focused he was on succeeding.
On the other hand, why was Ken Lewis, who was the CEO of Bank of America at the time, not clutch when the financial world went to pot?
Yeah, I mean, Ken Lewis is a poster child for choking. And the reason is, I mean, he had a pretty seamless ascent. You know, Hugh McCall had almost anointed him his successor at an early age. And he had had, Bank of America used to grow by acquisition. It was very, very easy. And when they acquired Merrill Lynch, I mean, not only did he pay a premium, but, you know, either he didn't do all the due diligence or he knew there was stuff in there that was very bad and he overlooked it. Doesn't matter which one he did. Either is horrible. And it played out over the ensuing years, particularly when he was, you know, called in front of Congress to testify. They'd repeatedly ask him stuff like, you know, did you ask Ben Bernanke for a letter excusing you of responsibility? He said, no, until finally, you know, Dennis Kucinich produced just one such letter showing that, you know, Ken Lewis had failed across the board, but mostly he'd failed to accept responsibility.
Is Tiger Woods still clutch? Has he lost his clutchness? Where is Tiger in the range of clutchdom? I'm trying to conjugate this word. I don't even know if it's a real word. Is it a real word, clutch? I know you use it on your car or your motorcycle, but is clutch a real word?
Absolutely, it's a real word. Okay. What am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you it's a made-up word? Come on.
It's the name of the book.
It's the name of the book.
So is Tiger still clutch or has he lost it?
Tiger is an incredibly complicated figure. You know, he's struggling on the golf course, and it shows, his struggles on the golf course show that being clutch is not entirely mental. I mean, a lot of books say, oh, just go into the zone or your mind is your 15th club. Well, guess what? If that was the case, Tiger would hone in and still be clutch. His skills aren't there because he hasn't been practicing. But in his personal life, for me, he became a much more interesting figure. He showed that being clutch is not something that pervades your entire life. You can lose it. You may be clutch in one area of your life and not the other. And when I sat down to interview him in 2008, I had to have a whole series of completely useless interviews with people from his best friend to his agent at IMG to his, you know, gatekeeper, the former head of PR at Augusta National. And when the whole scandal broke, it showed me, look, Tiger, at the end of the day, was just as insulated as Ken Lewis. He didn't have anybody giving him the proper information, and he certainly didn't have anybody giving him the proper counsel. And he couldn't have made all those women go away, but he surely could have handled himself better under the pressure of a personal crisis.
Final question. Can you be a loser and still be clutch?
Short answer is no. I mean, you have to be able to do these things under normal conditions. But it all depends how we define loser. I mean, people can be clutch. You know, I've talked to groups of moms who think, oh, how can I be clutch? I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And I say, well, you're wrong. I mean, pressure is an external feeling. Stress is something that's internal. But the solutions are the same. You have to focus on, you know, what the key thing is going forward. And then, you know, the other four traits come into line.
Paul Sullivan, the book is Clutch. Thanks for coming on The Real Story.
Thanks for having me here. It was great.